Welcome, friends and adventurers, to Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. We are a 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons actual play weekly podcast. Joining me are the players. Tomo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tehuman, Human Ranger.
Caleb.
My name's Caleb. I am a Warforged robot named Kaitoa Tata.
Braden.
I am Beleg Degar, level 1, half-elf warlock.
Brandon.
I am Ikaruk Boonslay, blood hunter, half-orc.
Episode 1, A Deadly Point.
Okay, everybody roll a d20.
19.
11 for me.
11?
Yep.
That's 14.
Okay, Kaitoa, construct, your eye apparatus open, and you slowly get a sense of your surroundings. It's a small area, very constrained, very dark.
Can I feel the walls around me?
When you try to move your arms, you feel constrained. You have a +3 to perception.
Yeah.
Roll that d20 and add your perception modifier.
Oh! It's 5.
Your eye circuits close and you see nothing.
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah. Hello?
Your eyelids open. You notice that your arms and legs are immediately bound and you have a heavy collar. This collar is really limiting your movement, very obvious. Roll a perception.
That's a nat 20.
You have a +4 to perception. So yeah, that's a 24.
I just rolled a natural 20 as well.
Steve Thehuman is incredibly perceptive. He's noticed not just that he's in a very well-reinforced 5-foot by 5-foot jail cell, but there are 3 other cells that are occupied. One of them seems to be perhaps a dwarvish woman, and another a strange orcish man. And then this construct. Steve, what do you do?
We're all in the same room?
Yeah.
You're all in a single room
with 1 exit and 5 cells. You're individually caged.
I'm going to... First thing I do is see if I can manage to extricate a spike from my... like Bricer, if you will.
As you look about your body and your surroundings, you realize you've been stripped of everything. Your adventurer's tools, your backpack, all of your trusty, sharp objects that could potentially help you now are gone. You're wearing something not much nicer than a burlap sack, but you do notice your arms and legs are bound in such a way that with the right sort of strength, you could probably break these. You don't need to pick any locks. The collar around your neck, on the other hand, it weighs down on you. It's a burden.
Okay. Strength isn't fantastic, but I'll give it a go.
Make a strength roll.
That's a 5. Or a 6, as it were. But
you try to strain against... Are you trying your legs or your arm bounds?
I guess it would be arms first.
So you're trying your arms first. Make another strength.
Oh, that's even worse.
And your legs as well. They don't really seem to be sufficient against these ropes. They're not sailors' ropes or anything too thick, but they're well tied.
Enough that I can't force them.
Ikaruk, your eyelids begin to open with your excellent senses. Make a perception check.
Oh. Five.
Damn, five.
Half-orc, Rook, it is dark and cloudy behind your eyelids as you struggle to discern your surroundings. You're in some sort of a hazy fog in your mind. Kaitoa, Warforged, you snap up.
Alert.
You're like one of those, what are those Winston beds? Those folding beds?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The opposite.
Yeah. Murphy bed, yeah.
What do you do?
Winston.
Rob, I'm assuming none of us know each other as well.
Your perception is correct.
So what's the distance between my two enemies?
Less than arm width? You can reach into other people's cells.
So it goes like this. You have Steve the human in the corner cell.
Well, hello.
Then the construct. Then this passed out dwarvish woman. And then an orcish man.
Boy.
And then an empty cell. And then the doorway to this room.
Has anything attacked me so far?
Attacked? No. But there is a strange word running around in your mind, Kaitoa, as you try and take stock of your surroundings. There is a word running around in your tin head. Match. Match. Match.
Okay. So instantly I think of match aggression and I just attack. Yeah. I am going into barbarian range.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I have advantage on every strength or strength check. Yeah.
All right. You got steel bars here, buddy.
Okay, sorry. I wasn't realizing there was a bars in the way.
Wait, you're all in separate cells, but you could totally reach into each other's cells, you know, at least as far as your forearms could go.
If I can't break through these cells, but once these cells are broken, I'm ready to go when you are. Once they're broken through, I can go. I would, like, convey that message. Oh, wait, like, whisper that.
Steve. You're being spoken to by a, how tall are you? A very large construct.
I'm like just under 7 feet.
That's tall.
Yeah, he's big.
Would he be able to reach over and maybe pull on my binds?
If you could convince him, could definitely reach your hands if you let him.
Yeah. Hey, hey, big guy. Hey, big guy. Help me out here.
What?
I saw you pop up like that. I can't get out of these binds. You got to help me out. If you help me, I can help you. You're gigantic. I can't get out of these. I just watched you stand up like it was nothing. Come on.
All right. Why should I let you go?
I don't know, because I'm in here with you. I don't know. Why? What about this person over here? Like, is that a dwarf? I guess. What's the dwarf doing here? I don't know. Well, you're going to help the dwarf? You're not going to help me?
I don't
Steve,
understand.
Can you roll a persuasion
I need help.
Check? Yeah, roll a persuasion check.
Yeah.
So I rolled a 9 altogether.
Okay, roll, Caleb.
Yep. I'd say intelligence.
Roll a d20.
If it's wrong or not. Oh, not 20.
Oh, Jesus. Well, the construct does not appear to be persuaded to aid you, Steve. Rook.
Yes, sir.
You've now come to, and you see a strange scene in front of you. There's a construct being persuaded by quite a wily-looking human. What do you do?
Well, so you said we're in cells, and so there's a door going down to a cell or to a dungeon just beyond ourselves, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I look at the cell, like the cell door and like the lock, what kind of apparatus or lock do I see?
It's a basic bar lock. So on the inside, it's clear that there is a bar that holds it from the outside. And Rook, the dwarf lady beside you literally passes out. There's a bit of drool.
I guess I can tell that the dwarf is not going to help us in this situation at this point in time. But I guess to the human, you know, I'm pretty trusting of humans because I grew up in a village with, you know, humans. So I would ask the human, do you know how we got here?
Oh, sweet. The orc can talk. All right. I don't know. This stupid robot won't help me. I'm here like the rest of you. I just woke up. Okay. What do you know?
Yeah.
You notice the robot react to that comment.
Oh, so now the robot looks at me. Come on, get me out of these things. You know you can help me.
No, and so nobody knows robot, you don't know how we've got here
You look pretty tough. Why don't you give it a shot? It looks like the robot got out with strength.
So I'll try to break my own binds to free my arms and legs.
Make a strength check, Rook. And are you going to try hand bonds or leg bonds or one at a time?
I'll start with just my hands.
Okay. I'll give you an advantage.
I got my strength is pretty good, right?
So advantage is roll 2d20s and take the better and then add your strength.
The first one I roll is a 10. The second one I roll is a 1.
So with a 10. 10 plus your strength is 13.
Yeah.
Your hands almost get loose. You wriggle and you're 90% of the way through. Steve, you see this orc. He's having a go. He's getting it done. You're up. What do you do?
Since the strength thing didn't work out for me.
It's going to take around 13, 14, 15.
Okay. If I can try again.
Totally.
Give another hand at pushing strength throw. I will do that. Again, after a brief look, I had no equipment, that kind of thing. Basically, just...
You do take another look around, and you notice this cell is bare. Mm. Every cell, every stranger's cell, is bare. No food, no water, no latrine, no equipment.
Wonderful. Here's the strength roll. Yeah, crap. Nothing.
And were you looking at your feet or your hands?
That was hands.
Go feet.
Feet is 8. Man, I'm rolling terrible.
And your strength is, plus 1, 9. So your bonds on your feet are now half open. You almost have one leg out, and you feel like if you could just get your hands free, you might have a whole new lease on life.
Hey.
Kaitoa.
You have a human next to you. He's wriggling out. You have an orcish man next to you who seems to be almost out of his hand bonds. What do you do?
How am I bound?
Like your, let's call them jailmates.
So feet and hands bound together?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
You see your compatriots have these giant dial-like metal collars on them, and you have a collar to rule them all. Yours looks like a sort of sewer plate.
Yeah. So I look I look throughout the room for anything kind of jagged, anything protruding, any kind of like a leveraging object.
It's a smooth rock wall.
It's smooth. They've given me a barren cell. Okay. Yeah.
You feel like these doors are going to be a challenge.
So I know I can break my bonds.
You're a construct with some pretty wild power. Yep. Yeah. Even though you have this strange haze, this problem recalling, when you start to think about these strangers next to you, you know you have power. It's innate.
Okay. I bang my construct head to get the alert status of someone next to me to convey a message I just need out of my cell. And once I'm out of my cell, I'm your path to freedom. And I try to convey that message with, like, I bang my head on the cell.
I see. And
this robot's broken.
I think this robot's gone crazy.
This robot. This construct. Yep, roll a persuasion check.
Yeah.
Now, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But what is that under?
Charisma. So it's a charisma check. Yeah. And unless you've got persuasion, it's just a basic check. What's your charisma?
He's got
zero. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, 18.
18. From his head banging against the wall.
18. What is that roll, Robin? Quit toy Neon.
Rook and Steve, you sort of get that no matter whether you're construct or chicken wing, passed out dwarf, or human, that there's a universal call sign for help me help you.
I mean, it sounds like the construct has represented himself as somebody that can help us get out of our cells.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm half-orc Ikurok. Who are you?
I'm a big robot. I have no way out of this cell. So help me out.
So I'm going to get my hands free from my constraints. So I'll use my strength to do that.
Steve, as they're talking, you've wriggled out of your feet bonds. You're standing up. All you have is hand bonds. And you're very much curious now that you see some dialogue going on.
I think what I'm doing at this point is freeing myself altogether. I'm going to focus on that.
Okay, you do that.
Yeah. I'm going to try and get out of these bonds first.
Get out of your cage and release me.
I'm getting out of these bonds. What? You're like, what? 7 feet? You're gigantic. Why don't you rip you out of their bonds? They don't look that big on you.
He's hogtied.
Once I get released, I'm going to break shit down.
So, party, as you are in the process of freeing yourselves and each other, you all hear from very close by what sounds like an explosion. And then, in the quiet that follows, you now hear a different sound. Also not far away. It sounds like some type of flute. And as the final note carries to your ears, it echoes away. All five cell doors simultaneously click and swing open.
I explode and go into rage. Like, I break my shackles free. And my first thought is just I go cell to cell, ripping everyone's hands free.
Construct. Yeah. Who do you go to first?
I instantly go Steve.
For a construct of your size, and your fingers are like, you know, meat cleaver handles. They're huge.
Yeah.
And you disintegrate his ropes. His feet were already free. Steve, you're free. What do you do?
Yeah, there we go. High five. Nice, buddy. That's what I needed.
I look at him, and I'm just like, I put my hand up, and I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I high-five my own hand.
Yeah.
And then run out of the cell.
Okay, Steve sadly completes his own high-five.
I go right to the orc, and I help the orc up, and I look at him like, oh, that look of being like hungry eyes. Yeah.
Hungry eyes.
Yeah. We look at each other and I'm like, we're about to go smash some heads. Yeah.
You have a moment. And Ekaruk, you have a strange feeling. You should remember more about this situation. Steve, you also have a very strange feeling that you are working on very limited short-term memory. Kind of almost feels like you guys have been some way sedated.
So can I use an intelligence check to...
Yes! Yes!
Of course.
Yeah, to figure out why we have this feeling.
What's that feeling?
Investigation check.
Roll your d20, and you've chosen to roll your investigation.
19.
Oh, shit.
19.
Nice.
Yeah. 19. Yes.
Good luck.
19. Yeah.
You all of a sudden realize that you don't belong here. You're way outside of your country. You've been brought somewhere, and you don't know where, and you don't know how.
Do I know who brought us here?
You do not.
Okay.
I'm going to, there's a window by the end of the cells. I'm going to, as stealthily as possible, I don't want to just stick my head out the window, but I'm just going to come up the edge of it and look out of it.
You see that you're in a cleared area. There is a fence about 14 feet high that obscures the view of your window. And there is a forest about 200 feet away. Very dense forest.
Okay. As my class, I'm going to see if this is possible. With my class being as it is, I know something about trees and forests. Would I have some inkling of where we are based on the trees that I'm seeing?
What would you like to roll?
Oh, good call.
I'm going to roll survival.
It's like a geography nature check.
Yeah. That's 14 altogether.
You know where you are. You're on the main continent in this world.
So in the main continent?
You're on the continent of Baheru. Probably south of the middle point. You know this because the foliage, the trees, all of the natural cues you're seeing indicate clearly you're probably in a place that you know pretty well.
I've been here before. Where are you? You guys from Baheru?
I don't know, but I know that I've been here before, and I'm getting some. I can feel some clarity as to how we got here and why we're here.
We're definitely in Baheru.
Okay. I'll tell you, all of you immediately recognize Baheru. That's the main continent. Rook, it's not your home.
Do I know the distance between it and my home?
Everybody on this world knows that the mainland is surrounded by a series of major islands. The mainland is what a lot of people consider to be a sort of central point, and large islands surround them. So you're either on the mainland or you're not. And from Rook, your question there, you're from one of those islands in the north. And you know that. But boy, as you start to talk to these strangers, you realize that's pretty much all you know. None of you have any idea what's happened over the last month.
Okay.
The door on the other side, the door of this room, solid window.
It's bars, same diameter and spacing as your cell. Very thick bars, 2-inch, 6-inch spacing. Forearm can get through.
And we have, on our bodies, it's just, we're just wearing base clothing? Is that the...
You have a fashionable burlap sack with rope around the waistband. It looks okay. Wouldn't want a catwalk in it.
I've worn worse. Okay. I'm going to stealth again up to the door to this room.
Nice.
And I want to kind of do the same thing that I did with the window, where I'm not going to just sit in the middle of the door. I want to come from either the corner or one of the sides and kind of see what I can through the bars.
You have a plus... Holy shit. Plus 5?
I like to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about taking 10? Is that something that you're into, or...
Okay, now what do you mean take 10, Tomo?
So rather than roll, there's a rule in the game where you can take 10, where you just basically get an average roll. Knowing that my stealth is plus 5, that's a 15, that's a pretty solid roll.
10 plus 5.
You don't get the absolute amazing chance of rolling the 20.
Oh, I see.
But you also cut out the fact that you rolled a 1. Okay. So it's like, I'm good at stealth.
Allow me the opportunity to say yes or no, and I like that rule. In this case, absolutely yes. Okay. So you're going to hit this door 10 plus mod, and that allows you to say not fail.
Not fail, exactly. You don't do like something ridiculous. Like
you push the door ever so slightly, and you feel immediately this door has also been unlocked, like your cells. They've all been unlocked.
I kind of shrug. I turn to the other two and give a shrug.
We should go through the door.
Until I'm directed, I have no reason to move.
I'm going to do a perception check, if possible, just to see if there's... I don't want to be surprised by anything outside in this hallway or whatever is on the other side of the door.
We should probably have the orc or the construct lead the way, swinging a big axe.
I don't think we have weapons though, and we're not armored either, so we're not ready for combat necessarily.
Human, what is your persuasion?
I've so many feet in my mouth all the time.
So we need to persuade this construct to come with us, through the door.
I'm just gonna sit here.
And I want a GTFO. I do not like being in this place.
Yeah,
Steve. As your feather light touch pushes against the inside of the door to this jail cell that you have been kept in, you see a lone guard.
Oh, fuck.
Roll initiative. You three, Kaitoa, Ekaruk Poonchle, and Steve Tehum.
All right, well, I rolled a 19.
That would make me a 15.
I rolled a 1.
Okay, Rook, as Steve opens the door to give you the view of this hallway, there is one guard, and he is not earning his paycheck today.
Yeah.
But Rook, you would act first.
Okay, I'm going to run and try to bash his head into the wall and knock him out.
Okay.
Bash him. Bash him real good.
Okay, so Rook, he is... not sensing your quick and stealthy approach, and you have clearly burst out of the door here, dealing an unarmed strike, which is 1d4?
Yes. Well, we can all throw a punch, but it's only your strength bonus.
3?
At level 1.
1 plus strength modifier.
And you learned a martial art. Everyone can do an unarmed strike, punch, kick, headbutt, similar forceful blow. On a hit, an unarmed strike deals bludgeoning damage equal to 1 plus your strength modifier. Everyone's proficient in unarmed strikes.
A static 1
plus strength modifier.
I think I'm going to, it'd be a 4.
All right, what sort of a blow?
With, like, my hand, just kind of, like, palm it like a basketball and just, like, boom. Right into the wall.
Kaitoa, you would see this. Steve, you would see this. And Kaitoa, you're acting next.
Knock him out.
I'm just going to sit by and watch.
End his life.
I am level 1, I'm kind of neutral, so I'm just going to watch what's going on. Yeah.
Sits on the ground and knits.
Yep.
Steve, you're up.
I run up. And I want to take his weapon. Is it in a sheath? Is it on his belt?
A short sword is obvious as he pivots to the side from the blow that he's been dealt from Rook there.
If I can grab it, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, you would move up then about 20 or so feet to join Rook. And try and take the guy's sword. Can you make a dexterity check?
Yep. Ooh, 19 plus 5. 24.
All right, this guy sort of wavers in front of you and is stumbling back from the force of having his head compressed into a wall. You're able to lift his sword out.
Stab him, if possible.
Stab him.
Let's see. You've definitely used, I'd say that was sort of your action. Do you have an attack left? What do you think, Tomo?
It depends on the ease of drawing the sword. If that was the action, then that's the action. At least I have it in my hand and it's not in his. But if I do get an attack out of that attempt, then I'll take it.
I don't think you'll have a time to attack. You know, given that a round is, say, 6 seconds, you've dashed up 20 feet, you've done a deft little move to lift a sword off this guy. I would allow that maybe you give advantage to somebody next. Like, maybe you can still say, okay, I use the rest of my move to do the help action.
Okay, yeah, I will. Yeah, whoever's attacking him next gets advantage then.
Kaitoa, as you are looking at the scene, there is now this soldier, this guard here, guarding this about 20-foot long passageway. This half-orc, this orcish man, has dealt a blow. This young, wily human fellow, also in a burlap sack, has just at the same moment lifted his sword off. And you see now a moment where this guy is wavering.
I'm going to bludgeon him to death. I'm going to pull a Frank Costanza and rain my fists upon him. And I lunge towards them. You said they're 15 feet away. I come 15 feet and I try and engage with a giant hammer fist action and just crush this man.
Strength plus 3. Roll d20.
Ooh, 14 plus 3.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
You hammer fist down on this guard's upside down soup bowl shaped helmet, and you hear a bump. He looks rough. He looks like he can barely muster the strength to stand up, but he does. And he's going to lunge
what?
At Steve.
He took it.
He draws a small dagger. Steve, what is your armor class?
Yeah, if it's 13, if I'm not wearing armor.
13. If you're not armor. That is a 19. That's going to hit.
That's definitely going to hit.
You take 2 points of slashing damage. This guard has a sort of joie de vivre. And he lashes out and manages to get a bit of a slice on Steve. You're up, Ekaruk.
He gets a slice of Steve, so is he now recovered from
taking a swipe at him, or...
Oh, yeah. You know, although you might chop a person's arm off, it seems to have no effect on their combat ability.
Yeah.
So, although this guy may be, as I described, in rough shape, and clearly not in in the best in terms of HP, he's swinging.
So, I think if he's in pretty rough shape here, in order to finish him off, I would perform a jumping hammer fist to the top of his head and to compress him and knock him out.
All about the wharf hits. Okay, yeah. You're rolling attacking the guard. So yeah. 20 sided dice.
Ah, son of
so good.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. It's a one.
Rook, you swing down with your double-handed clobber fist, but this guard, he has scooted out of the way, and you miss. And, Steve, you're in order next.
Let's see. I'm going to, I can use a help action. Was there anything remotely weapon-like in the hallway as well?
Nope. So you are now at the cusp of a closed hallway opening into a totally open air walkway. You notice as you've been clobbering this guy with multiple wharf fists, you look up and realize there's no building in front of you. You're in the open air. It's sort of like a walkway built of wood planks, but you can't see below you. The wood planks extend too far.
Okay, I'm going to use the help action.
Okay.
So basically what that means is I'm basically going to give the help action to the giant robot, whether it's like shucking and jiving or fainting.
Yep.
And the robot gets advantage.
Okay. Is that your action, Steve?
Yeah, I'm not attacking. Instead, I'm using the help action. So, basically, it's just giving the robot a better chance of hitting.
Sorry, this is new to me. What do I get advantage on?
So, a player can elect to help another player succeed in whatever their action's going to be.
Yeah.
In this case, I think I get the telegraph. He wants you to turn this guy into jam.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like what I'm doing is like I'm doing like a head fake, distract the guard so that you get a better chance of hitting him.
Yeah.
So
what does that give me? Advantage?
You roll two d20 and take the better result. Yeah.
So 1d20, right?
You get to roll it twice though.
Yeah. 2d20 and take the higher number.
17.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
As you bear down on this guard, wily human next to you pulls a little elbow move on the guard, sort of like the Monty Python, freshen your drink. I know what I mean. He's just a little
Governor.
And he hits him in the ribs, and the guy reacts in just the wrong way, right into your double fist, and he has expired.
Oh, sorry. Can you explain expired?
This
a little
guard
more in depth. Yeah.
Is
sorry.
Dead.
Yeah.
Wish face.
What do you no, explain dead.
This
how
guard's
did he
soul
die?
Is no more.
Perhaps exploded? Sorry, I hear all these contexts of how we take damage. I want to hear how this man died.
His spine from the power of two construct fists just perfectly aligned over his skull. His spine shoots up like a bone spire through his skull, spraying debris and various spinal fluids over all three of you.
I'm a robot who just looks at this being like, I was built for this. I've found a home. These are my kind of people.
Oh,
I just blew up a person.
Okay, I immediately go to finding weapons
Yeah, he's got the short sword. Is there anything else?
Okay, you guys are covered in gore at Caleb's request.
Yeah.
you can roll a quick investigation of his body, Steve.
Investigation, perception?
Either.
I'll take perception because I'm better at that.
You are. Yep.
That is a 11.
Okay, so instead of investigation, which is you pawing over corpses, which is really nice regardless, this is more of a, I know where to look on guards where they keep various things, and you find 5 silver pieces on them. You find a small 4-inch dagger. You got that short sword. And that's about it. It's a guard. It doesn't have anything more.
Okay.
Are we able to look around and see if our weapons are within the vicinity?
Go ahead and roll a perception, my dear half-orc blood hunter.
9.
And you have a 9. Plus.
And I'm even.
You're even. You look around. You're now definitely seeing some sky and some foliage. You do not see anything other than the wall of the building that you've just exited of the interior of, and an expanse in front of you. You'd have to start walking out on this wooden platform to really get a sense of a 360-degree surround. There's one thing for sure. There ain't no lockers with your shit in it.
I grab the dagger and I Orc, you can use this. I sort of flip the short sword over, handle first towards them.
Yeah.
I guess it depends. If is short sword simple? I think it's simple. If you've got simple weapons, then you can.
Okay, good. And then Steve, I think, you're cruising. You got a dagger.
Yeah.
One dagger. Okay.
I got one dagger.
You got some gold. What'd you do with that, Steve?
I don't know. I suppose you said 5 silver.
Yep.
I flip a couple silver at each of the other guys.
Okay. So
I'm more interested in being armed at the moment.
Okay. Cool. You kind of divided it as evenly as 5 can divide among 3.
I look at both of them and I'm degassing steam, and I'm just like pumped, being like, I'm degassing. Let's go fucking crash something.
Yeah.
You, Kyoto, release a little burp of steam.
Yeah.
It goes up into the air. Your stranger friends, who seem to, at the moment, have really worked well together, turning a guard into jam, also look up and follow your little puff of steam into the sky. Just as that happens, you hear a huge commotion, a whole chorus of voices saying,
Ouyaku!
Oh no!
Ouyaku!
I burst into rage and I instantly do my own war dance where I'm like puffing steam, smashing my hands together, and like challenging anything.
Okay, which way are you going in your rage construct? Are you going towards the sounds?
Yeah. I'm looking where the sounds are coming from.
Okay. You have now moved off in that direction. The construct rushes in. Steve and Rook, both of you simply compelled by the fast-moving nature of the situation, follow this construct towards this ruckus of voices. It's only about another 20 feet along a rough, wooden, suspended sort of walkway before you come to the edge of this building. And now you can see down. You can see quite a lot. There's a courtyard and 2 levels of sort of a dais, sort of a platform. And on that platform is a strange scene.
There is a figure in blue armor, and he wears a moon mask and holds a tomahawk over his head.
Do we see who he's, like, is there somebody that he's executing, or do we?
There are a line of people in burlap sacks and stylish ropes around their waists.
What's causing the commotion?
Nobody really knows in your party what's going on here, but clearly it'd be nice to be not on the side of the axe. You see guards like your friend, the Jam Man. They're running all over. They're all shouting one word. Oiyaku! Oiyaku!
Oiyaku!
What do you do?
Can I roll for investigation to find out what's creating the commotion?
Roll investigation. Oh. And you have a... Wow, plus 3. So that's from your intelligence? Yeah.
Yeah. So I got with my roll, it's a 7.
Okay, so plus... So that's the total.
Yeah. So I got 4 with my investigations, a 3, so 7.
You notice 4 people similarly dressed to you three. Looks like maybe a human, a tabaxi, one of these cat people, maybe a dwarf, and the 4th you can't quite make out, but they are bolting northwards away from this small fortress. You notice another group of 4. You notice their burlap sacks heading off to the east. Other than that, you notice the guards are all rushing towards the man in blue armor.
Rushing towards in haste or in, like, defense? Are they going to attack him or are they going to be defended?
Construct man... What is your wisdom and intelligence? Let's see.
Yeah.
Why don't you roll intelligence?
Yeah. 16.
Cool. They are running to protect him.
Well, I want my stuff.
Yeah.
So you all arrived on the scene at around the same time. The construct first. Rook second. Steve third. You see 2 groups of people heading off in opposite directions, or sorry, 90 degree directions. You got a group of guards heading towards a man in blue armor.
We were above them before, and now we're down at the level?
You're still up at that elevated level. Mm-hmm. So you're not at the same height as them. But you're absolutely in the same kind of 30 to 40 foot radius on them. For all intents and purposes, you can attack anybody you see. The people fleeing are at the outside of that 30 foot range. The guards are dashing across it. And you're at the moment not really the most obvious part of the scene.
I like that.
I look back at this party and I'm like, we walk on board, we take our gear and we leave.
I'm going to, we're not fighting, I'm going to see if I place that would possibly have our actual gear.
Are you going to disengage, Tomo?
By my character's interests, I don't like necessarily jumping into fights if I don't have to. If this is a fight that is not engaging,
you can disengage
with that. I don't have armor. I don't have enough weapons.
Okay, that's a move. So you disengage. You can move your entire 30 feet. What are you doing?
I'm going to use my perception, if possible, to look for a place that would where I could find my gear.
The only 2 logical places you see within 30 feet are back into the hallway where you came from, back to your holds, or all the way down about 30 feet back the way you didn't take the right path outside of your holding cells that led to a dark passage where you couldn't tell whether it led left or right.
Other than that, you would have to go out into this sort of courtyard, open expanse, and you'd be exposing yourself.
So I notice and I look at him just in question of, like, where are we going next?
Okay. I'll point at the dagger and, like, basically ask him, where's yours?
Rook, what are you doing?
I would see you guys making that decision and following suit with what what the party wants to do.
So it sounds like, based on Steve's initiative, for lack of a better word,
Steve,
you guys look at the scene and you're taking a disengage back away.
Him disengaging the look, and I'm picking up on that, being like, where are we going?
Okay, well, you guys make it back to this hallway, and now you're looking back down to the T-intersection. What do you do? Assuming you guys are all traveling together now, y'all are pretty much... Yeah,
same speed. There's no order.
No order. It doesn't matter. I assume you guys are traveling in a tight little ball.
I finally speak up, and I'm like,
where there's land and trees, there's a destination.
And that's all I say.
Okay, that's weird. I want my stuff. We gotta find our stuff. Yeah. I guess we can run if we want. I'm wearing a burlap sack and I don't like it. I'm going to take the chance to stealth up to this next T intersection.
You go up to the next T intersection. Roll a stealth check, ability check.
24.
Oh, fuck.
Yes. These are two approximately 10-foot long passageways that end in cells. Very similar cells to the ones that you three found yourselves in.
So no gear then.
You could go up to the cells and see if there's anyone in there, anything in there. Right now you're equidistant left and right, 10 feet to either. Yeah.
So Tomo, I have no stealth. I'm a big metal robot.
That's fine. I can.
I'm looking at you just being like, I can't do anything here.
The another awesome thing about me is if I break off from you guys, I can move stealthily at a regular pace.
Yeah.
So I can like just disappear ahead. I guess I'll take the left and see.
Yeah. Okay. What are you doing? You peeking into the left cell?
Yeah.
And Rook, and just so I know, Kyoto, are you hanging back? Or are you like shoulder to shoulder with Steve?
No, I think I sit at the T. I'm looking the other way down the tunnel.
I'm gonna stealth up to the right hand side, just have some stealth to me.
Okay, so you're gonna kind of assume some kind of position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, Steve went left. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sat in the middle just halfway between each dude. Yeah.
Steve, you see what looks to be a male human with auburn hair and brown eyes and a curly mustache. He's wearing just the most gorgeous burlap sack and rope.
Which cell is this? The left or the right?
The left. This is the one Steve's taken a peek in. Steve, do you let him know what you see?
Sees him.
And he's semi-conscious.
Yeah, he's mumbling. He's definitely moving.
He's bound, not bound?
He is bound. You recognize the same bonds that you had.
Guess if there's nothing nearby, I'll kind of make a noise enough to maybe get his attention.
Where's that? Hey, right.
Hey, where do they keep the weapons? Do you know where they keep any equipment here?
It's what?
I want you out of here.
Who are you?
Steve.
Steve, let me out. Let me out.
All right.
I hear the commotion, and I start venturing towards
the cell. Wait, this door is open!
Sure enough, the door, just like your doors, was open. And this male human, mustachioed, gruff-looking guy starts inching like an inchworm towards you, towards the door.
Let me out! Get me out of my bonds!
Can I use the dagger to cut the bonds?
You can cut his bonds?
Yeah.
Thank you. Where are we? What's going on? I hear screaming outside in battle.
Well, we're somewhere in Baheru.
We're always in Baheru. What are you talking about?
I take it you don't know. You don't know anything as to why we're here.
I want to get out of here. I don't like this clothing, however well made it is. Who's holding me here? I feel like I've been here for months or days. I don't know. Who are you?
I'm going to take an insight check. I'll take a 10 on it. Is he being truthful or is he trying to con me into something?
So your insight... is that insight?
Yeah, plus yep. 4. So we have 14. Wow.
Yep.
I'll take a 10 on it.
So that's 14?
14.
Yeah.
You get the impression he is being genuine in as much as you all have a very similar lack of immediate memory. That in itself is sort of a tough story to buy. So you sort of feel like this guy is telling you the same story you'd tell him.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. We need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Take me with you. I don't want to stay here. I can smell blood and I'm no fighter. My name is Bertio.
Well, it seems like we're all running. There's plenty of others running too. I'm sure we can all get away together.
Okay, so you got Bertio. His bonds are cut. You got a 30-foot hallway where you could theoretically escape from at least the enclosure that you're in now, this building. And then you have another cell that you could check before you do that.
And the half-orc is checking that one currently?
I think Rook is set up there. Rook, do you see anything in that cell? Roll a perception check.
It's a cell. I have a 2.
It is a cell.
Yeah.
It's a 2.
It's a cell. You obviously take the cue from Bertio's cell that these doors are open. You take a look around. There is one thing in this cell. One of the smooth rocks from the wall has fallen off. And you think you might be able to call this a weapon.
I might be able to call it a weapon. It just feels like a brick or a rock.
You pick it up in your hand, and the heft of it and the girth of it, it's a bit too big for your hand.
I got pretty big hands.
The construct looks right around when he hears the rock drop, and he just stares at him and holds his hand open.
So I give the item that I'm not too sure of whether or not what it is to the construct.
Construct grabs it and crushes it into a point. Like a jagged, deadly point.
Okay, so you have, I don't think you need any skills to do that. Do you have any artificing skills? Or any whittling? Rock
wheel? No, I do have a proficiency in the Warforged, which also is jeweler's tools.
Jeweler.
There's like
I'll take
woodworking
it.
Skills. If you have any kind of proficiency, you can build a construct in some way.
So you, I think sort I would of have turn the skill this thing into just, a mean looking, like a stone dreidel. Like, yeah. This thing is the size of a baby's skull.
They're ready to twist in your skull.
With a point.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's maybe in the hands of most people just a large garden rock.
Yeah.
But in the hands of you, it looks pretty intimidating. What do you do now, guys? You have the sound of definite battle outside.
I like crash my knuckles together, stomp, look at human, and then I just like stand like chest forward, ready to go, waiting command.
Okay. So we can go back towards the fight. We can go deeper into this area, or we can escape.
Essentially, where you are now, there's nowhere deeper at the level of the building that you've explored. You would have to somehow exit this elevated higher level that you're at and then re-enter the building from a lower level if you wanted to go on and explore this building. I'll tell you, though, it's very likely, given the amount of guards and ruckus going on, that you'd be seen. At this point, we can assume, you know, you've freed a guy from his cell. It's probably been about 2 to 3 minutes. We can assume that those escapees are still just in the perimeter of this 200-foot clearing. So, yeah, you still hear a lot of commotion.
Yeah, I notice the hesitation, and I, like, look up towards the sky, and I just fucking vent. And it's just like a steam-powered chute upwards.
All right, let's... I say we go. Let's go. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Bertio says, "Hey, I think they're coming back."
Yeah, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh geez, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, so you make down the hallway that leads to the most open air view that you've seen. Once you exit out there, you see a pretty much expected scene, because you've looked at two angles of this. Now you're seeing the third angle of the small fortress that you've been held in. It has a roughly 50-foot diameter conical tower, and from the angle that you're leaving the building from, you can see the dungeon level below, and you can see that elevated platform that you left. Down and towards the forest, there's essentially two main features: a river and then a grassy field. The grassy field leads directly into the forest. The river, it's a fairly wide river, about 15 feet across, swift moving.
I look and I point towards the river.
As you point towards the river, you see the first group that you noticed, with the tabaxi and the dwarf and the human. You see them being chased by guards on the far bank of the river.
I again point strongly towards the river.
I wonder if I can make a survival check with the two options.
Survival. Natural explorer.
So it's 17.
Steve, with your earlier check, what was that, nature? Kind of nature geography?
Yep.
Knowing where you are on the main continent and knowing roughly where you are in terms of latitude, you get a very, very strong sense that you're not that far from the ocean, and that the forest and the river are both going to lead to the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is where we'll leave you tonight on this episode of Dungeons
and
Blaggers.
No way. I like it a lot. More.